Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Believe it or not, we're in like a 30-year vision is happening, and I'm very excited about it. I want to welcome you to Prophetic Education with Dr. Paula Price. I've been wanting to do this for a lot of years, can't even tell you any good reason why I didn't, but one good thing that came out of it, we've got some quality instruction for you. But I can tell you why I'm doing it today. As we all of us know, those of you who are on with us tonight, and those who will be seeing this later on, we can all agree that the Lord's church is in trouble. Typically, when an organization is in trouble or a country is in trouble, you've got to look at leadership. Whether leadership wants to accept responsibility for it or not, whole other story. You think about how many times those of you who are supervisors and executives or managers in your job, when things go off, your company does not want to hear your thousand excuses. Your company wants to hear you say, I recognize that we got off, I've got a plan, I've got a vision for getting us back on track, and if you give me X amount of time and opportunity and maybe even resources, I'll get it done. Well, that's what needs to happen in the church. But if we're going to look to leadership, the first thing we must do is look to the leadership that should be responsible and the leadership that is responsible and see if we can forge some sort of a reconnection between that two. With that premise, then I'm looking to the leadership that the Lord established with his church, which is apostles and prophets. Ephesians 2:20 tells us that the foundation of God's church, the foundation of what Jesus did, is resting on the apostles and prophets. So, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So having said that, I want to lay that foundation that we're dealing with an issue. The Lord's church is really corrupt. We don't want to, you know, it's a tough word, but it is what it is. It's corrupt. We have all kinds of paganism in the church. We've got saints that don't even know Jesus Christ. We've got churches that are not preaching the Bible. We have other churches that are preaching redacted versions of the Bible, excerpted versions of the Bible. We've got, when we talk about the profanity and all the other things. Well, those things are not new. If you study your history, church history, Bible history, kingdom history, Jesus history, if you study that, you realize those things are not new. But they will always crop up. But the reason they crop up is what we're dealing with, and that is when the Bible said when the righteous are in power, or in authority, then the people rejoice. And it says sin is a reproach to any people. And right now, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, for all that he's done over the last 2,000-plus years, the church has become a reproach. How do we do it? Well, we can all sit down and point fingers all day long and have roundtables, discussions, and commissions and see what happens. Or we can be proactive, which is what I've decided to do, and begin to do something about it. I often use this example, so let me use it again. I always use the example of, Scripture, Hosea, and a lot of saints don't even know the Word of God any longer, so we're going to have a really wonderful time getting back in that place. But where God always raises up the right leader. And I've noticed that there's always this 20-40-year window. It just always happens. And so he raises up the right leader, and the first thing he does is he triggers the prophets to cry out loud and spare not. God always kickstarts whatever he's going to do with the prophets. And true to his form, in the 20th century to 21st century, he's kept to his pattern. He kickstarted with the prophets. The issue is the prophets don't know God. And the prophets don't understand the office, and they don't understand the role, and they don't understand what it's all about. We don't even understand prophecy. Whenever God gets started, he sends prophets out to teach. You know, they have to teach, and much of what they teach is the leaders. Believe it or not, they teach the leaders because God considers the prophetic to be the highest leadership in his kingdom under the apostles once Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So, here's where we are. We've got tons and tons of prophets that don't know the Bible. We've got a prophetic, I want to say institution, but it really isn't an institution because it's very disorganized and very unaccounted and very unstructured. So therefore, we just have this prophetic mass of ministers. Maybe we'll just say group. How about that? We'll say group. And everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes. We're clearly in Judges. Now, how do we get there? That's what we're going to talk about. And then how do we get out of that place? That's what these Thursday nights are about. So you see on there, I welcome you to prophetic ed classes. I named it prophetic ed because that's what we're going to do. We're going to educate you in the prophetic and educate you as the general body of Christ, as the corporate body of Christ, not just prophets, you know, because right now we're not even ready to do that. Even if I created 5 million master prophets today, they would be useless to the Lord. And you know why? They would be useless to the Lord because the people won't understand. This idea that we'll train the ministers and get them out there and then we'll let the ministers happen to the people has got to stop. So we can turn out 5 million highly trained, masterful prophets, and all they'll do is amaze, stun, and entertain the people with their spectacular acts. But in the end, the people cannot benefit from that prophetic institution because the people don't know. You, as the body of Christ, have got to know. You've got to know some specific things about the prophetic. The first thing you need to know is what is or is not prophetic. If you're taking notes, that's one of the things you've got to know. You've got to be able to readily identify what is and is not prophetic. The second thing you need to know is what does and does not make a prophet. You understand what will make a pastor. You know what makes a lawyer. You know what makes a doctor. You even know what makes a store clerk and a stock boy in a supermarket. But you can't say what makes a prophet. And when somebody walks up to you in the supermarket and asks you if they can help you, if they're not dressed in a uniform or something that distinguishes them from the shoppers, you are alarmed. Yet we aren't alarmed by what we have going on today and what we're calling the prophetic. So the second thing is you need to know what makes for a prophet, what is and is not a prophet. You also need to know what is a prophet's job before God. It doesn't matter what we say about how much they make you feel great or they drop a word here and there. You know, God used birds and animals, and he said the rocks should even talk for him if he wants. So, but do you know the prophet's job? Do you know the role of a divine communicator? Do you know their function in your life, their function in the kingdom of God? But more importantly, what is their function to God until we can reconcile what a prophet is to do and be for God? It's a wasted effort. Why? Because if the prophet is not lining up with God's criteria, with God's job description, with God's office description, then that prophet is working independent of God. And if they're working independent of God, you then have another thing that you need to know how to do, and that is identify the spirit they are walking in and talking by. That's your job. Because it's your ears they're looking for. It's your life that they want to speak into. It's your family that they want to guide. It's your faith that they want to affect and nurture. If that is the case, then it's important to you to know their function as it is for them to know how to do what they're called to do. And you've not put them to the test, mostly because you don't know how to test them. You don't know because we haven't laid that out. For all of the books we've had, we've taught you something that you wouldn't get away with in any other institution. We've taught you to go by sheer observation and experience. You cannot judge a prophet by your experience. You have to judge a prophet by what God is experiencing with that messenger. So you need to know the function and the purpose of the office. It's not just to stand up there and run around the countryside just giving words any way you feel like. As a matter of fact, the reason the prophetic always gets shut down is that. That is why they always get shut down, because when people don't know where to trace what they're saying, trace their heritage, follow, we need a wire. They can't follow the wire down to their source and their origin. They get afraid. Because ultimately what you don't know, I want you to write this down because it's just good wisdom. What you don't know, you will ultimately be victimized by. Ignorance will always make a victim. I did not know the car was there. I did not know so-and-so was coming around the corner. I did not know you like that. I did not know. Ignorance will always make you a victim. And right now, the body of Christ is a victim to its ministers, pretty much like our country is a victim to its leaders. because you don't know. And we've talked you off of your thinking perch, and we put you right in the heart of a feeling perch. So you're in this feeling nest, nestling your feelings, and your head is going crazy, and your life is falling apart, and you're going to try to find a prophet, and you can't even investigate one. You go to get a contractor to fix your house. You investigate that contractor. You look them up. You ask some questions. You look for some credentials, and you know what you should be expecting. You go to get a prophet, and you look for who had a good feeling about the last one they had. So it's your life. This class is starting out. It's your life. It is your soul, it's your money, it's your children, your family, your faith, your hope, your promises, and it's your destiny. And you should be very circumspect about it. You should want these people to live up to the criteria that God set for this office. And it's a very important office. And you should also understand when God is dealing with you from someone who is not in that office and whether that person who is not in that office is still safe. One of the things that we don't have in the body of Christ when it comes to the prophetic is we have no safeguards and no fail-safes. You can fall through the cracks all day long. Nobody cares. You have no way to even recognize you're in trouble for 3 years, 4 years down the road. You've already married the wrong person. You've moved to the wrong city. You've opened up the wrong business. You've taken the wrong job, at which point you find out the prophet was not credible. And you should be able to trust these messengers because we are the voice of God in your life. So we're going to talk about that, and I want to give you tools. This is about arming you as well as equipping you. If you're taking notes, write that down. I'm in a teaching posture. You know, it's very different now. This is about arming you and equipping you. See, because we've been equipping you, but we've not been arming you. So you step out there saying, well, I had a class, I took a training, so, I mean, what happened? Not armed. Armament's a whole different thing, and we'll talk about that later on in it. So let's look at where we're going. I want to go to the next slide, and I want to let you know why I'm doing this. Now, I've given you a lot of background, but come on, let's be real, why me? You know, why me? Why am I doing this? Don't understand why we're getting funny scribbles, but you'll be okay. The class is this. First of all, you should know this class is going to focus on prophecy basics. We're not making prophets. We're not equipping you to be a prophet. And when I get to the fourth or fifth slide, you'll see why that's not going to happen through Thursday night. The whole goal is to arm and equip you. Keep saying it, arm and equip. And the only way we can do that is through education and training. I always tell people education is the only sphere or mountain. If you subscribe to Seven Mountains, I call them spheres for my own reasons. And so I don't really call them mountains because I feel like mountains mean we're going to always be in the wilderness. Spheres mean you're taking principalities and powers. So the seven spheres, hallelujah, the education is the only one that every other sphere must go by. Everyone. It's the most dominant sphere of the seven domains of God or the seven domains of humanity and human civilization that everyone has to come through. Everybody's got to come through education. I don't care if your mother's teaching you how to go to the bathroom, eat your food, and tie your shoes, all the way up to you getting a degree to make a good living in your community and to be of value to it. So education is the one sphere everybody has to go through. And guess what sphere the church hates? Hallelujah. Prophet Ashley held up her hand, so I think she knew the answer. If education is the one sphere that controls everything else, why is it we hate it? Why is it we want to fast-track education and slow everything else down? Because we don't understand the power of knowledge. We have been taught that power is in our feeling, but yet the world says information is power. And prophecy, the prophetic, is God's information institution. We're going to talk about that. Prophecy brings you information from God. That's why we have it. Why is prophecy important? I always give this quick answer in Prophecy Basics class. Here's why it's important, because everybody on the planet would love to know tomorrow's answers today. Simple. Isn't that simple? That was pretty simple, wasn't it? Everybody, why do you think we have lottery? Why do we have horse racing? Why do we have casinos? Why do we have gambling? Why do we have psychics? Why do we have newscasters? Why do we have weathercasters? Why do we have meteorologists? Because everybody wants to know tomorrow's answers today. I want to know, should I go to work tomorrow or will there be a blizzard? You would love, those of you who have had your cars totaled, you would love for somebody to say at 12:52, your car is going to cross an intersection and be totaled. Would you have not liked to know that the day before? You would have liked to know that 30 minutes before. Everybody, why? Because the world is locked in the unknown. Oh, that's so good. The world is bound. That is that's part of the judgment on our lives, that we are locked in the unknown. And if we want to tap into the unknown, we've got to connect with the human beings that God constructed to access it effortlessly. It would be nice if we can also get them to access it ethically. Whole other story. So this is all about prophecy, and this is from a class that I have, part of a program I have in my school called Prophecy Basics. And I'm presenting this because I would love to get you all able to defend yourself prophetically. What a thought. Safeguard your homes and your hearts and build some spiritual and revelational fail-safes that keep you from falling prey to people who just don't want to do it right. Now, let me just say this, the church, we're very cute. We make a mistake, you shut us down. The world makes a mistake, and you intercede for them. Oh, no, we got to pray for our president. You need to pray for your pastor, too. You can forgive your president. We forgave a president for having a whole affair, making news around the world because he had a little help under the desk. We forgave that man and kept him in office. But if a pastor gets in trouble, you don't want to pray for them. He should have been out of office, and some of the pastors should have been out of their seat. But guess what? Life is what it is. But we have to understand, the institution works just because it gets poorly staffed and invaded from time to time. Like every other institution, it gets invaded. You know, attorneys have false attorneys that creep in, but they have a bar association that tells you they're false and they're not when they found out. We've got false doctors and counterfeit everything. That's part of the light and darkness in this world. That's normal. So you're going to stop bashing the prophetic because you found one or two bad prophets. The Bible actually has less to say about false prophets than it has to say about the prophetic institution altogether. Obviously, it's successful for God. We just have to do a better job of educating ourselves and regulating ourselves. And self-regulation is the highest form of maturity. So this is a series to educate you on the divine communications of God from heaven to earth. Now, here's my background. And I did this because I wanted you to know I'm not just coming out of the closet, out of the back room, out of the press, in the printing press. Well, I might be just coming out the press, but that's a whole other story. The book on the 1993, I published the first major manual on the prophetic. A lot of you, those words that you hear preached and taught, those are mine. In 1993, I introduced the first major manual on the prophetic. Not charismatic, giving you somebody's experience, not lining up with the evangelical paradigm. I gave you from the office in the Institution of the Prophetic 398 pages on becoming a prophet, making a prophet, evaluating a prophet, choosing a prophet, refusing a prophet, even judging prophecy. And so the name of the book, some of you may have it. If you do, just Facebook me and let me know. But it was called Constructing the Contemporary Prophet, a Crash Course on Prophetic Ministry. Constructing the Contemporary Prophet. Now, that book sold around the world, and it was the main used text. And it was 398 pages, 8.5 by 11, small print, and not a lot of scripture. I don't rewrite the Bible in my books. Not a lot of scripture. And so I introduced in that book the idea of the fivefold as ministers of a government. I introduced the idea of the gift versus office. I talked about the difference between the Nabean prophet and the charismatic prophet. Hallelujah, because there is one. And I gave you a whole section on divination, psychism, and the occult. All of that's there. So I did that in 1993, and it traveled around the world. And then my next book I wrote, which some of you probably still have it. I've met a couple of you in your churches. Bring your book to me. My very first version of the Prophet's Dictionary. Some of you may have it. You have the little green and yellow one with the wire bound. Y'all have that one? I know some of you got it because I know prophets don't throw anything away. You prophets are so hungry for knowledge, they will not throw anything away. If they could keep the label on a can, if they thought it was useful, they would do it. But I wrote the Prophet's Dictionary. 1,600 terms, 600 pages of defining, organizing, structuring, and establishing the prophetic. And that book has been in over 35 nations. We sold it around the world. It's in three languages. Hallelujah. And it's still being used. And so that's the second book I did. And bless the Lord. The Lord blessed me to have Dr. Bill Hammond do the foreword, which was very instrumental in getting that book accepted. And I often thank God for him for doing that. That was my next book. Now, remember, 398 pages, 8.5 by 11, 600 pages. Okay, hours of research, days of research. And then I wrote the second book, a companion to the Prophet's Dictionary called The Prophet's Handbook. And that one is approximately 298 pages or something, and it's a textbook. And it doesn't just tell you about the prophetic. It tells you about the prophetic. It gives you exercises. It gives you activities. You can literally build an entire prophetic readiness curriculum on that book. I wrote that one 2 years after we finally got the dictionary published. Well, there's a little known book that you haven't seen, and these are just my prophetic books. These are not my apostolic books. These are not my curriculum manuals and textbooks. But this is the next one is Prophecy, God's Divine Communications Media. And it's in that book that I wrote it specifically for people who have to cross paths with prophecy, whether it is a prophet or not. And so that one is giving you the technical background of prophecy and how it works. So, Dr. Price, why are you telling us this? You will hear in a minute. If that was not all, then I had a little spare time on my hands, and I created a series of standardized ministry assessments. Several of you have taken them. They've been out, I guess we're coming up almost on 8 or 9 years with them, and we've done literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them already. And it's and there's one for ministers, the five-fold assessment, the minister's aptitude questionnaire, and then we have the prophetic aptitude questionnaire. What you don't know is there's also one for apostles, the apostles' diagnostic questionnaire. And then beside those, we have several smaller ones. Under the prophetic one, there are three levels. The beginner for adults to help you as leaders decide who's really prophetically inclined and should they be considered a prophet, prophesier, or an intercessor. The assessment will tell you that. And then we have the second one, which is intermediate, where most people fall in that category. And then we have the advanced. So these do not give you just a printout. Those of you who've had it, get on Facebook and tell them what you got. Get on Twitter and tell them what you got, because people need to know. This is not, I did not give you a grocery list with this. You get a full profile of who you are prophetically or ministerially with anywhere from 20 to 60 pages of information on you. Everyone answered, questions answered, the different types of prophets and how to recognize one type of prophet over another type of prophet, how to discover how one prophet ministers and how God talks to one prophet versus another. And every one of them gave you a readiness plan. Every single one of them. Well, if that was not enough, okay, so I did that, but then we turned around and we created a company called PPM Global Resources. And in that company, we took, springing off of our prophetic education and the assessments, I created a career path for prophets and apostles. And we have our prophetic advisors who literally have a full-time job doing the prophetic without running up and down the street, throwing prophecy at whosoever will take it, and begging for a day to preach. And they touch the nations by phone, by internet. They touch the nations. We have international clients and advisees. So why am I saying this? Because I want you to understand I'm not giving you theory. I'm not giving you my feelings. You may hear my testimony, but not a lot. So this is not a devotional experience. This will be a real educational experience for you, and I pray that it's a blessing to you. Now, on my next slide, I just want to wrap up this aspect of it, and then we'll get into why take this class. It has been said, documented, that it takes about 10,000 hours to make an expert. I've done this from 1982 to present. I average anywhere between 8 to 20 hours in in research study working or something. That's researching my books. I've started three churches. I have a school. I've had two schools. We travel all over. I've written the curriculum for it. I've got graduate and postgraduate program, a PhD program for the prophets and the apostles. So when I tell you that I've done my homework and I've put this thing together, it's real. It is real. Now, you've heard people say Dr. Price is deep, Dr. Price is high. You need to understand some of that had to do with turf protection. That's just what people do with newcomers. It happens. It's part of life. I learned a lot. I grew a lot. Amen. But recognize this. I'm not called to keep you where you were. You do not want your job to hire the most uneducated people it can find to do your job and pay them your salary. As a matter of fact, when they hire somebody and you realize that the person can't do the job, you get upset. You're resentful. So I'm here to make the best of the best for God, the best of the best prophets anywhere, and not because they can stand and prophesy flat-footed for 300, 400 people. I've done that too. I used to prophesy when here in Tulsa when I was affiliated with High Dimension and Azusa. And I did the 400, 500 people in a day, 800 people in a weekend. I've done that. And you know what? Didn't make me smarter. Made me tired, but didn't necessarily make me smarter. Made me capable. And certainly proficient, but I still wasn't able to regulate that thing the way I needed to. Education is what you need. So it takes that much. I've done more than 125,000 hours for schooling, study, practice, and praxis, founding, establishment, training, mentorship, coaching, and innovation. And many of you who are listening to me tonight can say I have mentored you through my books, through my teachings, through my radio programs, television programs, and only God knows what else. So I call this prophetic education because I am an educator. I'm a kingdom educator. I educate for the King of Kings, and I educate people to serve the King of Kings. And I thank God for it. It's a blessing. Did not want you to not know why I'm doing this. So here I am. I wrote the book on it, Prophet's Dictionary, Prophet's Handbook, Constructing the Contemporary Prophet, Divine Communications. Those are just my prophetic tools. I created an assessment to assess it, evaluate it, to discover prophets and properly place them and prepare them to be placed, web-based, totally web-based. Nobody's sitting in the back room doing pencils. You all have taken it. You go online, you take an assessment. And so I've done that. And in short, I can say God gave this institution to me. He gave it to me to order it for him, and that's what we're going to do. And I'm looking for people like you to join people like me for us to make this happen for the King of Kings. Now, next one, moving on, why take this class? Why do you want to take this class? Now, you know, some of you are taking it because you're fascinated about the prophetic. Some of you are taking it because you're hoping I'll flip into some global prophecies and really kind of, you know, stoke that flame. That might happen. I don't know. Not my plan. But why do you want to take this class? Well, let me give you some quality reasons for doing something. The first one is you want to become intelligent. Intelligent in the prophetic. I have had a bugaboo about prophets that can't read, can't complete sentences. Can you imagine having our government and our bosses having a communications department with people who can't read, can't write, and can't put a sentence together? Yet we have prophets that can't do it. I've listened to them. Well, I don't know what you call it, but it's kind of round, but it's not round, and it's a little bit oval, but it's not really oval. Well, I don't really know what oval is, but I think oval is kind of like an egg, and so I think it's kind of like that. Now, it's blinking. It's almost coming to me, but I don't know what you call it. It's some big word, and I don't know what it is, and so but I'll tell you what. You just go ask God. If I have to ask God, why did I waste my time with you? I thought you were speaking for God. How do you have a prophetic training and you don't include verbal communications? Huh. Yeah, you liked that, didn't you? So we don't have verbal communications. We want people to write out prophecies and they can't spell, can't put a sentence together. And then they say, Dr. Price, you're too hard. No, I'm just trying to cover your bases so that we look smart. So we look intelligent. Can't spell words, can't use the right word, couldn't figure out a synonym. Well, I'm telling you, it's not that deep. First of all, if you can say learning how to read and write and to speak intelligently is too deep, learning how to do that is too deep, you serve a dumb Jesus. And I'm sure it's not the man that was on the cross. You cannot say he's the all-knowing, all-wise God, and you don't think you should represent him that way. Prophets, real prophets would never say that. Real prophets want to know what they're talking about. They're going to aggravate me from day one to day one. Okay, so Dr. Price, when you said, well, when you asked real prophets, because remember this, it was a prophet that said, in the beginning, God. A prophet found out how God created the heavens and the earth. A prophet went up to the mountain and spent 80 days with God. You know, Moses had to go twice, once for God and the second time for Moses, because Moses was temple. 80 days in the presence of the Almighty. It was a prophet that wrote that. A prophet gave us wisdom. Solomon is likened with a prophet because he was so revelatory. See, all the Bible that you say you love was not written by people who were ignorant. I know we told you that, but that's not true. And I'll tell you it's not true, because in order for you to be a king back then, you had to start being groomed for being a king as a little tot. In order for you to be a prophet back then, you had to be groomed from a little tot. And they did not have a society of people who did not have to learn the word of God and did not have to learn the prophets. Everybody had to know it. So we're talking about the difference between formal and informal education. You know, you're talking about I often hear people say, I love to hear this, you know. Well, you know, the apostles weren't educated. Yes, they were. They said, we found him in whom Moses and the prophets wrote about. Now, how could they recognize Jesus Christ if they couldn't read or write and they were uneducated? We don't even want to talk about them being businessmen. You see, but you had a whole lot of people say, Lord, I believe, this is my personal thing, I believe that during this time that the church went off its way and we kind of wandered off the reservation of the Holy Ghost, I believe we dealt with a lot of dropouts. I believe a lot of those teachers were dropouts and decided to use emotional experience and blame it on the Holy Ghost. But that's not going to give you the logic of God. And when you look at what God used to pen his Bible, we could talk about James's brother. Let's talk about James. I like James. James is one of my friends. James is his brother. Come on, let's think, because I'm giving you logic now. James is Jesus' brother. I want you to think about Jesus. Can you imagine having Jesus sleeping with you at night in your room? That's your brother you're sharing a room with. Can you imagine the stories Jesus told and the things he told? Can you imagine the education James got just by being born as the man's brother? Come on. People, put that thinking cap on. No, don't put the cap on. Let's go get the brain out the trunk. I think your brain is crying. I'm so tired of being trunked on Sundays. The next thing, you want to be articulate. We just got through talking about that. You want to be wise and you want to be profitable. You know why? Because the Bible said prophets and prophecies are to profit you. P-R-O-F-I-T. So you should be profited from a prophet. The prophet shouldn't be the only one that makes money off of this deal or gets a good house or whatever. You realize that you can't even pay a prophet for a prophecy what it's worth. You just can't. Because you can turn around and sow a $1,000 seed and get a $250,000 harvest. Where is that fair in any language? Now, if you're an ethical person, you're going to come back and give a tithe off of that, if you're an ethical person. And so the Bible says that the prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, is supposed to profit you. P-R-O-F-I-T. Why is that? Why is that? Come on, Dr. Price, you're talking about money? Yeah. And what's this thing about the church being afraid of money? What you need to be afraid of is rendering bad judgments on your money. Now, that should scare you. See, a lot of you all are angry with God about where you sold your money, because you sold it to try to con him and he wasn't going to be con. You sold it to try to play games with him and he wasn't going to do that. But the word profit, if you break that word down, is pro-fit, or fit for advancement, or fit for moving ahead. See, FIT is in profit. So anybody who speaks into your life ought to be able to fit you for a healthy and prosperous future. Outfit. We are outfitted for duty so that we can profit you. Oh, hallelujah. And you know, before you write me, should a prophet collect money? Should you collect a paycheck? I'm a simple girl. Should you collect a paycheck? Should you decide that you're going to have a rummage sale and decide, oh, forget it, just everybody take what they want and go for free? We like to make money off old beat up stuff. We so believe in an exchange. There has to be an exchange. Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting there. So you want to be intelligent, articulate, wise, and profitable in God's prophetic. We must add wisdom and logic to our prophetics. We must add wisdom and logic. This whole idea that you have that prophets can just say any old thing because they told you God spoke and they told you God did it and they told you God gave them a word and you're supposed to take them at face value. You don't take anything else at face value. You get your check in the restaurant. You're gonna look at the check and make sure they didn't charge you for an extra coffee. You're going to fuss with them about taking a 20% tip when you only wanted to give 12. In Scripture, the individual could not tell you God called them. A mentor, a seasoned leader had to tell you that God called them. If they got a direct call from God, then they had to still go to the leaders to be confirmed. Even Amos, that we like to use all the time, Amos still had to get to the people who did that, who ran the country, to even speak the word of the Lord. Because if he went in that king's presence without God's grace on, he'd have been killed. But see, we don't know that kind of history either. We got to grow, folks. We got to grow. Hallelujah. So who should take this class? That's a good question. Basically, all Christians. I don't understand how you want to be a Christian and you don't want to hear God talk. Now, God's okay. He won't talk to you. No, he's not going to push that because God's got a lot. He's got a lot on his plate. He would have loved to commune with you, but he doesn't have to. But let's just say that. But in particular, all churches, every church should have a prophecy basics class. And one where it makes sense. Like, could we use the Bible with the prophecy basics class instead of just everybody's little book? Can we just include that? All church leaders, all prophetic messengers, all prophetic groups, intercessory groups, especially you want to pray, you need to know how to pray into how God is and how he thinks. And then all apostles. Why? Because God speaks. But God speaks, God talks. We've been having this on my show. We've been having this quiet pushback on folk. He keep telling you don't need the Bible, and the Bible is hard, and the Bible is boring, or it's jargon, and the scriptures are outdated. I'm here to tell you that's satanic. Write it down. Dr. Paula A. Price, Tulsa, Oklahoma, said, if that's your attitude about the word of the God that saved your soul, then Satan is riding on God's salvation of your soul. And you probably need to get him lanced off your soul. You got to get some devils lanced off your soul. Because if you're not hungry to learn about the person that you claim you serve and you claim saved you, you claim delivered you, if you're not hungry to learn about that and to be good at your gratitude, then you need to recognize one or two things happened. You never got saved. You just appreciate church and a religious experience. Or a devil has sneaked in and taken Christ's place in your life. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the high height or the low low. The Bible is the same. In Scripture, kings had to know the Bible. In Scripture, kings had to know the Bible. And yet we say we priests and kings and don't have time to read it. In Scripture, kings had to know it. Priests had to know it. Everybody in leadership had to know it because it was God's government and he was the king. And yet you got churches, pastors standing up there talking about, oh, no, we don't really do that because, I mean, that's just so outdated and whatever. And you know why they can get away with it? Because there's not enough educated prophets to tell them what I just said. That's a devil. You have been invaded. Your soul has been infiltrated. And you have been secretly converted to be an antichrist, and you didn't even mean to. So don't get to the point. Well, you know, the Bible is deep. Then find one that's not deep. Now, I don't like to read half of those translations, but I'd like to see you reading something. And the Bible is not deep. Let's kill that one, too. The Bible uses words like the, it, store, book, cart, chariot, sword. Let me know when I've gotten deep. Heaven, earth, how four-letter words, see, how four-letter words, you know, God, three-letter word, Jesus, five-letter word. Are you getting the point? It's not deep. Is Satan having a problem with it? Because the Bible says that if you desire the word, it will save your soul. It will sanctify your soul. It will grow you up. And Satan can't do a thing with a grown-up Christian. I'm telling you, this world would not have been where we are right now if the Christians continue to grow up instead of lay out on the beach of salvation. That no thinkers. God works with thinkers. And listen, the devil works with feelers because you can't measure feelings, you can't harness them, which is why the soul is considered to be the ocean because it's so fluid. It changes with the wind. Isn't that interesting? And the sun is considered to be solid because it produces solidarity. So the soul is considered to be fluid. Hallelujah. That's just, hey, that's prophetic insight. That's a little logic. We're going to have a lot of those little tidbits. You know I'm good for those. So, about your prophetic education class, your prophecy basis class, you will learn what prophecy really is. That's number one. You will learn what prophecy does for God and us. I'm going kind of slow so that you can write these down if you want to, but if you don't, remember, it is Periscope. You can come back and look at it again and again, and in a couple of days, Prophet Ashley will have it up on my YouTube channel so you'll be able to get it again. The next one, why prophecy is needed. Why do we need prophecy? Why can't he just, you know, he's God? We're going to find out about that. You need to be able to answer that. Who prophecy is for and what to do with the prophecies you receive. Very important. And why training in the prophetic is vital to every Christian. Those are some of the things that you will learn over time in this class. Now, and I have to lay a foundation so that you realize that this is not going to be a prophecy fest. And trust me, I disagree with the talking tongues for 37 and say the first thing in your mind. You will never learn that in the Dr. Paula Price School. That will never happen. I will never use that method. I disagree with it because I feel like if you don't know what was in people's mind before they came, you don't know what's going to come out of their mind when they say it's prophetic. I think that every practice, every art, prophesying is an art, and it does need to be taught. Again, we need some articulation. We need some communication classes. We need a whole lot of stuff. That might have been how we started out in the 80s because we didn't know any better, but we found out, obviously, that's not working because too much error is floating around. So we need a better way of confirming truth and confirming accuracy. About your class, what you will be able to do with what you know and what you learn. You'll be able to say what prophecy really is. You'll be able to explain what prophecy does for God and us. You'll be able to tell why prophecy is needed. You'll be able to identify who prophecy is for. And you'll be able to understand what to do with the prophecies you receive. And lastly, you will be able to appreciate why and how training in the prophetic is vital to every Christian. I told you this was an education class, not just me chatting. I'm not going to preach. This is class. Well, I might preach, you know, it kind of hits me sometime, and I just can't help myself. Okay, your prophetic education. Now, listen, you're going to love this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but I do want to get it out there as a matter of record. And again, you know, you can go back and listen to it again and again. So your Thursday trainings will eventually briefly cover, because of what you're about to see, I'm going to explain why it's briefly, Prophecy 101. From the Prophet's Handbook. I wrote that. I did a whole section myself of Prophecy 101 in my Prophet's Handbook years ago. So many of you have already read it and you've seen it. And it's Prophecy 101, not Prophesying 101. And there is a difference. That's from the Prophet's Handbook. Why and how prophecy equals light. That's taken from my Divine Communications class. Divine Communications and Spiritual Ministrants, that's from the Divine Communications class. What prophecy is exactly, taken from the Prophecy Basics course. Hearing God, taken from Divine Communications course. Why God Created Prophecy, which is taken from the Door of the Prophetic series I have, series 1 through 4. when God created prophecy, door to the prophetic, prophecy types and elements, prophecy basics, the anatomy of a prophecy, the prophet's handbook, how prophecy works from prophecy diagnostics course, judging prophecy, the prophet's handbook, and prophecy diagnostics. Going on, prophecy versus divination and psychic readings from constructing a contemporary prophet, prophets versus prophesiers, the prophet's handbook, and church prophets, prophets versus psychics, constructing a contemporary prophet, charismatic versus the Navi prophet, the prophet's office program, the prophetic gift versus the prophet's office, advanced prophetics, and church versus organizational prophets, the organizational prophets class. So over the course, that's letting you know this is a long journey, and I'm going to spend a lot of time with this, and I'm taking my time. Now, I told you the sources so that when you start looking and hearing this and other people start saying things, you understand that I'm the source. I'm not, you know, I've heard people say, you sound just like so-and-so, and you sound, no, 34 years. That's a lot. That means I've been at this thing longer than some folks been alive. So this is where, and these programs exist because you all often ask us, how do we get started, what kind of training it is. This is part of the training, and it, believe me, it's only part of it, but you're getting excerpts from these classes that I chose to include in these Thursday night sessions because they fit. Now, moving on, getting the most out of your Thursday classes, knowledge. Just attend every session and review it. Review what you learned. Go back and listen to it again and again. Credit. Take the quizzes. Every session, we have scribes that are listening in today who are taking notes and preparing quizzes and online tests. We have an online site for you to take quizzes. If you want to take the quiz, you take all the quizzes. For every 5 quizzes you take, you get a certificate. Credential, earn your certificate. Advancement, enroll in a full program. High honors, go after the degree in ordination. So these are not useless. Every 5 quizzes, you get a certificate. So you can get something for your time here. So what are we doing? Education. Equip. Develop. I hope you see the acronym because, you know, Prophet Ashley's going to get me if it's too small. Upgrade. Clarify. Adapt. Train. Enable you prophetically. Education. And so I wanted you to go through that because I wanted you to get this foundation. So when we get back together again, we will go through what we're going to do. So I want to start by giving you some of the scriptures. We talked about 1 Corinthians 12, 28 and 29. God has set these in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Now, you know, I always tell this as a little bit of a joke. People, you know, the world always says that prostitution is the oldest profession. I beg to differ. The prophetic is the oldest profession. The first prophet was Abel. So, sorry, he beat out the hookers. Prophetic first. Abel was, if you go to Luke 49 and 50, if you go there, it says Luke was a prophet. And why is it important to know that? Because we find out that Cain didn't just kill his brother over fruits and veggies. He killed his brother because his brother was a prophet and he was a priest. Now, whatever their community had developed into at that time, hallelujah, whatever it developed into at that time, obviously there was enough for envy and resentment to kick in. Clearly, God appointed the younger over the older, and that was a problem. So when you read it, and I want to go there so that we're all on the same page, so let's hop on over here to Brother Luke. I like Brother Luke. And get your Bible, and, you know, I got a bunch of different ones, and so if I want to get all of the meanings of different things, I tend to get myself different books. So we're going to go to Luke 11. Because this is a class, and you're going to learn scripture, because prophets should know the scriptures, or otherwise they're not talking for the God from the God of the scriptures. Now, and I'm not saying that they can't hit it, but you know what? It's not hard to hit what's already in the planet. What is hard is getting God to give it to you from his archives. So Luke 11:49. I'm going to start at 47. Woe to you who build memorials of the prophets whom your ancestors killed. Consequently, you bear witness and give consent to the deed of your ancestors, for they killed them and you do the building. In other words, you keep venerating the slaughter. You have annual celebrations to celebrate the righteous people who were killed by the wicked. But here we go. Look at 1149. Therefore, the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles. Some of them they will kill and persecute in order that this generation might be charged with the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world. Now, did you know we have prophets in the foundation of the world? We probably knew it in some vague, abstract way. Probably not. But God says he had an official prophet at the foundation of the world. And he named that prophet because in verse 51 it says, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who died between the altar and the temple building. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be charged with their blood. Now, you can't beat a legacy like that. So Abel, we thought Abel died because he was just a younger brother and his older brother was a little bit jealous. And the way the Genesis account reads as it has come to us, I don't believe God was that ambiguous or ambivalent about what he wanted to say. But what came to us, and then it takes the Jesus Christ to tell us who the prophets are. Now, I think that's very interesting. You know, I don't have a lot more time, but I want to lay this out just to kind of stir you up a little bit. But I think it's very interesting that throughout the New Testament, Jesus names all the prophets. As a matter of fact, throughout the New Testament, Jesus names everybody. He names because when he names something, he's naming what he's already transformed or created. So he names every prophet. So he lets us know that the prophetic institution began with Abel. How many of you all knew that? I'm sure some of you did, and a few of you might have read it in my book. But by and large, that means that the prophetic is older than everything criticizing you. The prophetic is older than everything that is discrediting you, everything that is rejecting you. Now, granted, it is also a very vulnerable, volatile office because people don't want to hear truth. They don't want to hear from their God. But understand this. Cain was always meant to be the father of the line of the wicked. The scripture calls him the son of the wicked one. So somebody had to father the children of darkness. That's Cain's line. Because Abel didn't have any kids, but Jesus came through Adam's line. So Abel, he brought the right sacrifice, so that means he was a priest. He understood what God would sacrifice. So Abel was both prophet and priest, and he was the servant of God. And it's very interesting that God names Abel as a prophet and not his daddy, Adam. Now, why is he not naming Adam? Because he's kicked off with him. Adam has already proven what he was going to do with his word of the Lord. He was going to give it to his enemy. So when people start talking about the prophetic and where it is, go all the way back. But let me point out something else from here that I think is rather interesting. It says that wisdom calls apostles and prophets. So that's another reason why Ephesians 2:20 calls them the foundation. Wisdom. So how is it that if wisdom can call apostles and prophets and so many of the prophets, and not all, because we got some quality folks out there today. I mean, we got some. I would like to sit down with them and just chat with them because they're so good at what they do. But far too many are not. And we're being battered by those that are not. And so much so that you are also, some of you all are so gun shy and so terrified and traumatized that you just assault anybody that says prophet. You haven't even figured out if they're good or bad. Because your defense mechanisms are on high alert. You know, you're on high red alert. You know, so we get ready to say, let's go, you know, and process some. You think we're going to say prophesy. I'll be good. But it says wisdom calls prophets. Is that powerful? That means that there can be no prophetic education without a healthy dose of wisdom. Daniel was known for his wisdom. We know Solomon was. What you don't know is that David was known for wisdom. It was not stated, but we're reading the man's Psalms. The man wrote all these amazing psalms. And did you notice these people are articulate and literate? See, when we took you out of the Bible, we took you out of the standards, we took you out of the criteria, we took you out of every success measure that God uses. We set you up to fail, set you up to lose, set you up to be condemned, to be mocked, to be scorned, to be laughed at and ridiculed by God's adversaries. We set you up to be humiliated. And so what did you do? You went home to your prayer closet, you went home to your little private room, and you said it became you and God because you didn't know how to compete. We never gave you the tools you needed to contend for the faith that all your predecessors had. Oh, hallelujah. You know that's good. I'm telling you that's good. That's good. I'm going to say it's good. I don't know if I got it. Did I get any hearts? Am I getting love? I need some love, you know? I had to hold out pray for the day because, you know, the enemy does not want prophets in their place, and he doesn't want prophets who are smart because our tongue is our sword. You will recognize it in my book, The Prophet's Handbook, and I might have mentioned it in the Prophet's Dictionary, but I introduced it in Constructing the Contemporary Prophet, the 14 Native Attributes of a Prophet. And wisdom is one of the things. I can hear if a person's a prophet by how they talk. I hear their spirit. And their spirit will tell me whether or not the wisdom of that mantle and office are in there, even if it's underdeveloped. I can tell. I sit down and I can say, I'm telling you, that's why I can do an assessment. Because I can detect the prophet's attributes, even in tiny embryonic form. Because that's my job. But you're supposed to be able to do that too. Because if I taught you how to do that, then you would not let everybody just tell you they're a prophet because they had an experience that you didn't even partake of. Oh, hallelujah. Well, we're coming to the end of this. We're going to come back next week. Make sure you come back. Come, Prophet Ashley, you got to come and tell us stuff. So make sure that you listen to this again. And do me a favor. Go to YouTube, subscribe so I can get my numbers up. Please get my numbers up on Facebook and Twitter. They tell me that if I get my numbers up, I can get a certification and start have video in on Facebook. So do that for me. You guys, this won't make it without you. We are a team. This is a team effort. But as you spend this week going over this, remember, prophets were always brilliant. Trust me, we have a different spirit. Our spirit comes loaded with various attributes that cause us to be quick-witted and bright. But if we never educate you, nobody will know it.
Now, what am I going to say after that?
Oh, you're good. You got that prophet spirit? Use it. Work that spirit, girl.
That's right. Go to YouTube, subscribe to everything with Dr. Price's name on it. Also visit drpaulaaprice.com. Tomorrow we are going to be opening up some prophetic courses this weekend. One of them will be the Tulsa Prophetic Training Institute from last year. Will be available online. Yes, your prayers have been heard, saints of God. You'll be able to enroll in that and watch those videos as well as some other options. So stay tuned. If you are on our mailing list, you will certainly get an email with the ability to register and enroll right there in those courses and start watching your trainings and getting involved this weekend, this Thursday night. Woman of God. I'm doing it for everybody. Woman of God. powerful. Amazing.
Thank you.
The saints are tuning in and chiming in. You can always go to drpaulaaprice.com and sow a seed into Dr. Price's life. She blesses us, the kingdom. She gives her 100,000% every single time she sits in front of us. So go sow that seed tonight. You know it's good ground. Most of us have already gotten more than we could ever give anyway. So we thank you for it, and we bless you for it, Dr. Price, and we thank you all for tuning in. The website for Dr. Price is www.drpaulaaprice.com. That website will take you everywhere Dr. Price is. Take an assessment if you haven't taken one already, and find your purpose and place in God.
I love you guys. Thank you for tuning in. Good night.